an obvious no, but I think it also it doesn't practically matter very much because these companies have no checks on their power or their decision making at the moment. Maybe it'll come at some point. But this idea of thinking about the ethics and morality of our potential relationships with these new tools is very important. And kids potentially relating in the future to an AI Barbie is just one of the many outcomes. As I said at the end to Webb, I appreciated that his book pointed out the outcomes in policing and employment and finance and healthcare and education that all come from these algorithms that are not developed by some disembodied AI in a cloud somewhere. These are all coded by human beings. Human beings sitting in cubicles, many of them in Silicon Valley, and they have their own perspective from being employees of big tech companies. And they're being forced to do things, I think, in some cases that they don't want to do. They probably know that some of these things are unethical, but that's what they're being paid for, and so they do it anyway. That's a particular perspective of the tools that forces these decisions on the rest of us. And that's why it's so important for us to talk about where we're headed. Interesting that Webb Keene brought up effective altruism, which came up just recently in my interview with Adam Becker, if you wanted to go back and listen to that interview. And there was another interesting connection with a past Tectonic guest. A couple of years ago, Webb Keene wrote an op-ed in The Spectator in the UK, co-authored with Scott Shapiro, who's at Yale and is a past Tectonic guest. This op-ed is called Why We Should Fear the AI Godbot. This is another reflection on the gods part of the title, this idea that AIs can be perceived as divine or godlike in some way, even though they clearly are not. And just one excerpt from that op-ed makes the case that it's really, again, it's all about the humans behind the AIs. They write, AI is made by humans and can be constrained by humans. We should not give AI divine authority over human dilemmas. Humans are morally accountable for their actions. As agonizing as some ethical issues are, we cannot outsource them to snippets of code. AI will only become godlike if we make it so. And that brings me to my final thought, friends, which is that as these big tech companies are encoding their decisions, their biases, their worldview, their exploitative desires into their code, and that is rolled out to affect all of us, we, the rest of us, we still have some agency. We get to decide, in some cases, whether we are going to relate to those disembodied chatbot personalities as sentient beings, as beings that are worthy of any kind of relationship. As for me, I'm not going to. If I can help it, I'm not going to relate to a chatbot. I may occasionally use some chat interface if I have to, or if there's some particular question that I think it can answer quickly, get a quick utilitarian response out of it, okay. But as for developing a relationship, this is the phase, this is the next phase that big tech really wants to bring us to. As for developing a relationship with these things, as though they are our friends, as though they are our pets, as though they are the toys that we need to be talking to and learning from, as though they are gods. These are all the aims of these companies, because that's where the money lies. If you can get people hooked on human-level relationships with snippets of code, then you really got good margins coming at you. And that's what we can refuse. We can refuse to see these things as beings worthy of our relationships. We can refuse. We can resist. Use them if we must and be affected by them, perhaps. It may be unavoidable, but we can know for ourselves these are just algorithms. They are not alive, and they are built out of the decisions of actual humans with their own agenda in Silicon Valley that is not in our best interest. We can resist, friends. And I hope you'll join me in doing that. Hope you found something interesting and enlightening in today's episode. Thanks again for joining me. You are listening to the greatest radio station in the world, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County, and 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Check the playlist for lots of trolley memes at tectonic.fm, T-E-C-H, tonic.fm. And until next time, friends, you know what to do. Avoid Apple, abandon Amazon, forget Facebook, and whatever you do, get off Google. And hey, speaking of trolleys, let's go out to Timothy Clover's song, Trolley Car Line. I'll see you next time, friends.
How would you like to ride on my trolley car line? Come along with me, sit back and find your man. Trolley cars and candy bars, a lollipop man coming through your door. Flowers and balloons on sale from the sidewalk.
The greatest 38 seconds of music ever recorded, possibly 5% for Nothing. I never announced that song. My opening theme is 5% for Nothing by Yes off the Fragile album. 38 seconds of music composed by drummer Bill Bruford. Good evening. My name is Dave Mandel, and I am the host of this program, which is called It's Complicated, an hour of Prague and Prague-adjacent music. I'm here every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time here at WFMU. Thrilled always to be sitting in this chair playing music for you. A lot of really, really good music for you tonight. I mean, all those other weeks I was just kind of toying with you. Tonight I break out the good stuff. Lots of it, or an hour of it. We're going to start with something from a band called Gargantua, which is a
name I like.
Named after the character from the great Rabelais novels. And they were Polish. And the track I'm going to play, the album I'm going to play, or the track from the album, the album from which I'm going to play a track with, is from 2007. It sounds more vintage, but it's fairly recent, 2007. And not much I can tell you. The album's called Kota Garda, undoubtedly some Polish word that I have no clue about. Really great stuff. This is the band Gargantua.
Zit!
And that's music from the group. Hold on a second while I move my microphone. Oh, that's so much better. Music from the group Gargantua, Polish prog band, orchestral prog, I guess we can call them, from a track from an album called Kota Garda from 2007. I'm not going to attempt the track title. Really great album that I was finally, after several attempts, able to get my hand on a copy of recently. All right, we are now going to go to Italy, and here's something from a group called Orchestra SMS, and they the album that I'm playing a track from, which is called Musica Sparpagliata, contains some very unexpected covers, like they do Venus in Furs. I don't remember what else. Some other less, more obvious stuff. Like I think they do a Robert Wyatt cover, a few other things, but they also do Venus in Furs, and they use a harpsichord, which, you know, more or less clinches it. But one thing that they do, spoiler, I shouldn't have said this now, but I've already started. They cover incredibly. They cover Sisyphus. Sisyphus was a piece from the Pink Floyd Umagumma LP, a Rick Wright piece, and it's, you know, this is when they got Pink Floyd, that is, got totally self-indulgent on the Umagumma album. Each member of the band got their own, you know, self-indulgent, like, half-side long track to do, and Sisyphus was Rick Wright's piece. Now, I mention this, why should we care about this? Sisyphus is this like tremendous monumental thing that Rick Wright did in four movements. It's completely epic, and it goes through all kinds of stuff. There's improvised parts and the piano and Mellotron. It's just epic. And these guys cover it, man. Sisyphus part one, part two, part three, part four. It's amazing. So I will play part of it. Okay, what I'm going to play is first a track called Water, which is just too great not to play. And then after I play that, I will play part one. I'm not going to play all four parts, but after this track, Water, I'll play part one of Sisyphus, their cover of the Rick Wright Pink Floyd thing. Okay, got it? Here we go. Thank you. And two tracks there from the group Orchestra SMS. They are from Italy. And the pieces we heard were Water, and then just there, Sisyphus Part 1. Sisyphus Part 1, of course, is a cover of the Pink Floyd, Rick Wright piece, Part 1 of the Rick Wright piece, reinterpreted. It's purely played on piano, if I remember correctly. The original is just a piano piece, but of course it's rearranged here for a whole bunch of other instruments. Really, really lovely. Orchestra SMS. The album is Musica Sparpagliata, and someone on the chat board, naturally I've forgotten who it was, I believe it was Listener G, looked it up, and apparently that means scattered music is what the album title means. All right then, we're going to move on with some music from the Netherlands, Holland, as some people call it. And this is going to be a group called Blast. And they feature a guy named Dirk Brownsma, who is some of you may be familiar with the name. He's played with everyone in the world, not literally everyone in the world, but a good percentage of people in the world he's played with. Dirk Brownsma is a multi-instrumentalist, saxophone, and I think a couple of other instruments. So Blast, we're going to hear a track from an album called Wire Stitched Ears, 1995 release on the Cuneiform label. And this will be a track called Seismograph 93 from the group Blast. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's the group Blast, and we heard a track called Seismograph 93 from an album called Wire Stitched Ears. That track doubles. If any of you out there are percussion students, that track doubles as a drum rudiments lesson. We're going to go to, I think, don't quote me on this, that these folks are from Michigan. This is a group called Discipline, and I'm sure it's a complete coincidence that there's a very influential King Crimson album called Discipline. I'm sure that never entered their head. But the group Discipline from Michigan, we're going to hear a track called The Roaring Game. And this is what it sounds like.
Thank you.
And that's something from the group Discipline. We heard a track called The Roaring Game from an album called Captives of the Wine Dark Sea, released in 2017. And, again, they're from Michigan. I think they're from Michigan. I'm going to keep saying that because I'm not 1,000% sure. You know, every so often, you have to go back to the classics. This is a track that I know I've played more than once on this radio station, on these airwaves. It's an absolute classic and a seminal piece of, what would you call it? Well, you know, there's a subgenre of Prague now that sometimes is referred to as brutal Prague. This, I would say, is probably one of the granddaddies of brutal Prague. Just an amazing piece. Very influential also, I would say. This is the group Massacre, which was a trio consisting of Fred Frith, Bill Laswell, and Fred Maher on drums from 1984, a track called Killing Time from the album of the same name. Watch out, this is Massacre. Brutal. Goodness. Massacre. And the title track from the album, Killing Time. You know, I think it's deliberately ambiguous. Is it Killing Time or Killing Time? I used to think, originally I thought it was, thought the album was Killing Time. And then I switched to Killing Time. You know, with age, you get gentler, less murderous. Anyway, Massacre. Incredible piece of music in 7/4 time, for those of you keeping track. And we're going to go now to a group called, I'm not even sure how their name is pronounced, Oyapok, O-I-A-P-O-K. They're from Strasbourg, France. And I hear a heavy Mothers influence, perhaps, really nice orchestral orchestral-ish band. We're going to hear a track from a 2023 album called, I think it's called First Album. I'm not sure of the title. Just forget what I just said, because I'm not really certain what the album title is. But the track I'm going to play is Frogs Might Disappear. I've never been more certain of anything than I am of that track title. Frogs Might Disappear from the group Oyapak.
Thank you.
And two tracks in a row there, because I wanted to make sure I could fit them without any gabbing in the middle. We just heard a second ago from a track from the group Gallier, who are from Mexico City. And we heard a piece called Face Mask Required from an album called The Wind that was released, I think, just last year, 2024. And preceding that, we heard something from the French group. They're from Strasbourg, called Oyapak. Approximate pronunciation. And they gave us a track called Frogs Might Disappear. And that, my friends, is going to do it for tonight's show. Thanks so much for listening. Always a delight to play music for you. Thanks, as always, to all the wonderful people on the chat board chatting it up during the show. And Stashu is next. What do you know? You're tuned to listener-supported. You are tuned, he said a little bit more clearly, to listener-supported WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online on the internet at WFMU.org. Stashu's next. See you next time.
Welcome to another exciting episode of The Dance With Me, Dance With Me, Dance With Me, Stanley Show, here on WFMU with your DJ, Stashu. I know you were tempted to run away with the jump band, but you didn't do it, and I'm glad you didn't. But now it's on your mind. Should you have ran away with that jump band? Should you have ran away with that jump band? Now it's gonna be on your mind. party time at the Dance with Me Stanley Show. It's the Dance with Me Stanley Show. It's a dance with me Stanley Show, show, show. Come on, start the party now. Take off your shoes and leave them at the door. Consume your shoes. Leave them at the door. It's time to party and take off your shoes and cut a rug with the scissors. It's time to party now. It's time to party now. It's time to party. And this next one goes out to that special someone in your life, to that special someone in my life, to that special someone in everybody's life.